This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs here at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Happy Valentine's Day on this lovely Saturday morning. And hopefully you and your loved one there haven't gotten sick of each other because you're all been home. We can't do anything else together. So hopefully this is a good Valentine's Day. Hopefully it's improved your relationship. But again, it is what it is. This is a really weird Valentine's Day for everybody. You know, trying to go out to eat is going to be tough.
Well, you know, they allow them at, I think it's 50% capacity.
There you go.
So
it might be more intimate because you have less people, less noise, maybe better food. I always hated going out to dinner on Valentine's Day.
Oh, I don't like to go when it's busy.
Well, that's my point. So only 50%.
Look, my favorite restaurant doesn't take reservations, so you know I don't like to wait 3 hours to get in either.
Wow, that's a good place. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Speaking of concerns, you probably heard this, and we've talked about water issues before because of my experience on the water department in my hometown. You guys probably heard this, which is kind of rare that you heard this at all. Someone tried to poison a Florida city water system by hijacking its water treatment plant via TeamViewer, the sheriff says. Now, again, very rare to see a public entity like this admitting this occurred, but we're happy they did. Basically, this is a water system down in Florida where it serves roughly 15,000 people. And believe it or not, there are a lot of small water systems out there. And they use a product, they use a system called a SCADA system, which deals with how the folks who manage your water can see whether or not they're having issues with the system, you know, chlorination and all the chemicals that are added to your water to make sure that the dihydrogen monoxide is at the right level. Just kidding, that's H2O. But in this case, the folks who hacked into the water system hacked in on a Windows 7 computer, Bob, using TeamViewer, where all the people that logged into this remotely used the same password.
Well, I would argue that they weren't hacked.
No, I agree. This looks to me more like just an inside job of some disgruntled treatment user trying to mess around with the system, I think. But who knows? The thing that you also should be aware of, and again, I can't speak to every water system out there, but in this case, they tried to crank up the levels of sodium hydroxide more than 100 times the amount, which is, believe it or not, lye, I guess. Lye is a pretty nasty thing you would not want to come across. But just because the software says you can crank it up to 100% doesn't mean the valves or the delivery system can deliver 100%. So just understand, and I would contend most people working on water systems would block the ability for a system to apply a poison at a level that would kill everybody, right? You would think you'd put a little screw or some sort of, you know, metal knock that says the maximum you could ever turn this valve is 2% or whatever percent they're supposed to be putting in there, no matter what the SCADA software says. I would contend that's how it's configured. Now, if it's not configured that way, what are you doing? You know, but I would think...
Well, they could make it so that the capacity wouldn't go to toxic.
That's my point. Yeah, that's my point. They should be able to do this. So whether there should be no way, considering these are people out there trying to mess with systems, I mean, there's no way you're going to have enough sodium hydroxide sitting in a vat ready to be dumped into the water system when you turn it to 100%. Understand that, folks. So this whole idea that they were hacked, yes, it's an issue. There's a bigger problem of access to water supply itself. You know, rather than going through the water treatment system, which is designed not to harm us, the worry really is people who don't put fences around the actual wells that are in the ground serving the water supply, because those are the more at-risk sites to deal with, you know. And if you're going to do something bad, you're not going to go and use a software.
Well, I would argue, why is the computer that runs the controls even connected to the internet?
Well, because they have to, quote-unquote, manage the system remotely. I agree with you. But, you know,
it's with not, Windows 7?
Windows 7, TeamViewer, same passwords. Come on, guys. It's the year 2021. I can't believe you're doing that. And this article that I'll post here is from my favorite tech blog out there in Europe, The Register, England. You know, they talk about having underfunded. There's nothing underfunded about using the same password. Yes, Windows 7 is a bad idea. But if everybody has the same password to connect in, how do you know who's connecting in? You know, only one person has to be compromised before someone has access to it. You don't know who is logging in.
Yeah, password is water.
Right. The password is dihydrogen monoxide. So this is just one of those things where, yes, it's sensational. It's out there. The fact that we even know about it is unique because these types of things generally don't get out to the public, which was I definitely give them credit for bringing this up and telling everybody about it. But I would contend most water systems on the treatment side really can't turn up anything beyond what they're supposed to be turned up. I would think there's physical blocks that would prevent anybody from being able to say, I want 100 times of this chemical put into the system. I would contend that can't happen physically. So probably not too much to worry about here on the water side of things. Do you get?
Go ahead, Ben.
Oh,
okay.
Well, what did you want to say?
Well, you know, I was thinking a security log for one thing, the passwords for another.
Yeah.
An updated operating system. I mean, come on. Windows 7 is lucky that machine is still working.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, here in Connecticut, we were running 40-year-old systems.
Aren't we still?
In some cases. So it's not surprising that government doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And being underfunded, yes, we can't have nice things when it comes to anything in government because we're paying so much for folks that are...
Yeah, but we got to buy extra computers and extra paper and extra toilet paper so that we use up all our funds so we won't get cut next year.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a big problem. But the point is, this is probably not something you have to be too afraid of as far as a thing that hackers will do to us, my opinion. What do you got, Bob?
Okay. This has been in the news.
Mm-hmm.
This is a CNET article.
Yeah.
Facebook versus Apple. Here's what you need to know about their privacy feud. Apple and Facebook are feuding. Can you believe it?
Oh, no.
A coming update to Apple's iOS will let you know if an app wants to track you. We've talked about this
before.
Yeah,
we have. Yep.
Facebook isn't a fan. Can you believe that?
No, I'm not surprised.
A privacy change coming through the software that powers Apple's popular iPhone has prompted a war of words in Silicon Valley. Oh, no. The iPhone maker will, in the coming months, roll out an update to its iOS 14 operating system that prompts you to give apps permission to track their activity across other apps and the web.
Even when you're not on it.
See, That's correct.
So Facebook has a tracking system whereby you're even off Facebook, yet you're doing other things in Google or doing other things with other technologies. You're reporting back to Facebook and they're tracking you.
Right, but then they're giving that information to other partner companies.
Right.
So, for instance, if I had a restaurant
right,
and Facebook, you know, somebody's walking by my restaurant.
Yeah, you'd know.
Facebook's going to give them a little prompt to say, hey, you're walking by Bob's restaurant. Why don't you stop?
No, Bob's walking by the restaurant. Let's grab him and bring him in. He's hungry. Yeah, it's creepy.
And, you know, most of the time it's in the EULA, but it's buried in so deep people don't see it. And
right.
Most people don't read it anyway.
I know.
You know, who wants to read 50 pages of print so small that, you know, even a microscope wouldn't be able to
see
it?
Yeah, the EULA pretty much, you sign over your firstborn when you get on.
Okay. So anyway, that change may seem small, but lots of apps already track your web activity through default settings. We accept when we install them.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Facebook, however, has been fuming about the change, which threatens the source of its $86 billion in annual revenue, targeted ads. The social network has waged a months-long campaign against Apple, running full-page ads in national newspapers and testing pop-ups inside the Facebook app to encourage users to accept its tracking.
Right.
It also alleges that Apple's changes are designed to help the iPhone maker's own business rather than protect consumer privacy.
Oh.
Apple may say that they're doing this to help people, but the moves clearly track their competitive interests. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said in January during the company's fourth quarter earnings call. Apple CEO Tim Cook said the change is rooted in the company's belief that users should have the choice over the data that is being collected about them and how it's being used.
I agree.
The dispute underscores a fundamental difference between the tech giants, how they make money. Apple sells smartphones and laptops and takes a cut of fees charged to app developers.
Mm-hmm. A big chunk.
Yeah, 30%
big.
Yeah,
there.
They're going to cut it to 15.
Oh, very nice.
Anyway, Facebook sells ads that it can target precisely based on the trove of data it collects on its 2.8 billion monthly users.
Oh, my gosh.
Those business models inform their approach to privacy.
Well, I kind of agree with Apple.
So there's a whole lot more in this article.
We'll put it up there for you.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you how you can get out of it. We posted it last week, too, how to get out of being tracked. There's actually special numbers that Google has on you that you can opt out of on your Google devices. You can clear that number so they can't track you anymore. You can turn it off. But you have to do it actively. Passively, they're tracking everything you do.
I would say that you should be able to go to an app or a website and look at who's getting your shared data.
Right.
So then you can kind of make an informed decision. Maybe I want to do this and maybe I don't.
Right. And good luck to you either way. We're going to put the links up there for you guys to take a look at. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC if you want to call us anywhere in the country. 522-WTIC. And we'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. The lines are all jammed up on this Valentine's Day. So as you're, cuddling up with your sweetheart with your computer on Valentine's Day, because you've had nothing else to do for the past year. It was interesting, though. You think about it. Your relationships for an entire year have been completely changed. I've been married a long time, happily. When you're always together all the time, you can't go out with your friends and do poker. You can't go out and do this. You can't go out and do that. It changes things. It makes, in this case, it's for the better for me and my wife. All sorts of benefits to this, but for others, might be tougher. So this Valentine's Day is a really unique one, I think. people talking about all the divorces that are going to occur thanks to COVID. I don't think that's true. I think a lot of people maybe have strengthened their relationships thanks to COVID. Maybe they get a better appreciation for what they do.
And I think a lot of people have gotten to know their kids better.
Their kids? The kids get to know what they do at work. My kids always just told me I drove around all day. Once they actually see you working at home, that's what you do. You get a whole different appreciation. I think it's been a very beneficial thing for folks in relationships, I would hope. Let's get to your calls. I'm not a relationship therapist at all on Valentine's Day. I'm a geek. Let's go to Diane in South Glastonbury first. What's going on, Diane?
Yes, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I had an interesting phone call yesterday. This is about computer service costs.
Computer service costs. Okay.
I get my Cox bill, and it's got this little notation on it. Next month's bill might have some changes. I go through this every February.
Mm-hmm.
So I call them, and I get this nice lady, Gloria, and she said, oh, yeah, but it'll only go up about $5 or $10. And I said, look, I've been a customer of Cox for 31 years. Mm. Can't you do something for me? So she says, I'll put you over to a loyalty department. So I get this guy in Nevada, Jonathan, very enthusiastic of customer service rep, and he says, big news coming in June. He said, I'll hold the price you're paying now, because I've got basic cable and basic a computer and my phone.
Yeah.
He said, but in June, Cox is going to offer one price for life.
Hmm.
And I said, really? Now, I'm listening to you guys every Saturday. I hear that things are changing in the delivery system. Companies that bring us our cable and our computer service. So I said, boy, I bet the guys would be interested in hearing this. I said, what's the price going to be? He said, well, I don't know, he said. And I thought, boy, that's interesting. He said, budget for life. And I'm figuring, I'm 75.
That's a good sense of humor, Diane.
And they're going to offer cell phones. And he said, you might see the advertisements on television in your area. I don't know. He said, but call about May.
Mm-hmm.
He said, get in on this deal. It's going to be a real good deal.
Well, I mean, so we've talked about it even last week. I mean, Cox is hitting us with overage charges on our service. William Tong here in Connecticut is going after Comcast, who was planning on hitting Comcast customers in March with overages, but Cox has been hitting us since August, so I'm not sure why he doesn't seem to understand there's multiple internet companies in Connecticut. Anything Lifetime, you know, GoNetSpeed is a Lifetime offering of service provider. So, you know, you could get their service for one price, Lifetime, no overages. Maybe Cox is seeing the writing on the wall and they're going to have to do maybe offer a more competitive internet service, because finally competition is coming to Connecticut, despite the roadblocks that our governor doesn't seem to be aware of. You know, we'll see. I mean, I would tell you to take a look at the math. If you're in an area with GoNetSpeed that comes in, maybe you get an alternative. What do you have, Bob?
I would argue that if they're going to have a fixed price, they could have a very low fixed price. But when they charge by the gig.
I know. When they charge by the gig, I'd go for charging by the gig, right? Because, Diane, you're probably not a heavy internet user.
No.
You know, just like you think about
actually,
it.
I'm not. It's my son that has a computer.
Yeah, but your water bill or what have you is all charged by the gallon. Wouldn't it be nice if they charged by the gig? That really is the right way to do it as far as I'm concerned. Most of us, because only 5 or 10%, according to the internet companies, are going to get hit with overage charges. Most of us would have a huge reduction in our internet costs if they charged by the gig. Some of us would have an increase because we use the data, and a lot of us wouldn't because we don't use the data. You know, they got the connection. So we'll see what happens, and I appreciate you calling, Diane.
Well, how do you think they're going to structure the Lifetime? Do you think they're going to do it case by case, or they're going to do it according to what plan you have? Like, I have a bronze plan.
Yeah, bronze. It all depends on how long you've had it and how long they've cranked up. Everyone seems to have a different price. If you talk to anybody, if you put out a post on Facebook, what are you paying for your cable? You'll get a different number from everybody. Bronze, silver, it doesn't matter. Everyone's got a different price based on how long they've been a customer and how they've been able to crank you up as far as costs go, no matter what internet provider you have. I would say they're going to try to come with something competitive if it's true. Maybe competitive because they're finally seeing competition of alternative broadband carriers, because finally some of the roadblocks to putting up another piece of wire on our poles is becoming less of a difficulty. We'll see. We'll have to see, Diane. Let's hope.
I thought you'd be interested in that little bit.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, we need a competition, don't we?
Oh, you know, you bet.
You know, again, the governor has announced some level of initiative to increase broadband in the state, and he wants to know, you know, what he can do to reduce the roadblocks. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Fire Pura.
Fire Pura is a good place to start. I mean, come on. You really don't know? You really don't know? You know, this shouldn't be a hard thing. It shouldn't be the year 2021, and we're like, geez, it would be nice to have another line on the pole. You know, why don't we incentivize, you know, putting additional lines on the pole? Why don't you? Because you're in with the incumbents. You know, we all know it. Frontier, Cox, Comcast, they're the incumbents. And they've been contributing to all sorts of people for a very long time. So I would contend that's the reason we're not getting better internet in Connecticut. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We have one line open for you. Everything we've talked about has been posted live by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook and you follow us over at WTIC's Facebook page, Bob and I are live over there, broadcasting live. You can see our mugs. Feel free to say hi in the comments section. I'd like to know where you're listening from. And if you have any questions, we'll do our best to even bring them up on the air for you. We'll be right back. are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We have one line open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. On this Valentine's Day, we are not able to help you with your relationships, so don't call about that.
Unless it's with your computer.
There you go. So let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Bob in Hebron first. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about laptops. Back in the good old days, my laptops, they always had, when battery would start to fade on me, it was a pretty simple thing to just pop open a compartment, take the battery out, and put a new one in.
Yeah.
Now I've found that my computers, my laptops, don't have any kind of compartment like that. And the closest I can come to figuring out how to do it is you actually unscrew the whole back of the laptop, which I've never done that on a laptop, and I just want some words of reassurance that it won't all come flying apart if I do that.
Well, it won't come flying apart. There's no springs in there.
That's probably the main thing I wanted to hear.
Yeah, there's no springs in there. However, I would tell you to see if the battery is replaceable at all. Some of them are not.
Some of them are soldered in now.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so make sure you go find the PDF on your particular laptop and see if the battery is replaceable, because you could cause more trouble. Make sure you back it up before you do anything.
Almost every model has some sort of a YouTube video on how to replace a particular component.
Good point. So almost every model. Never the one you want, but almost every model.
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
You can find something.
My luck.
It takes time to watch the video.
Watch the whole video.
Yeah.
Because there might be one of those steps that says, before you do all that, do this first.
And, you know, the one thing every video is missing is, what do you do with the extra screws when you're done?
I hate that.
I can probably find a place on my car to put them.
There you go. So, yeah, be careful. Make sure you back up your system before you start ripping it apart. Make sure it can have the battery replaced. Yes, it's sad, but these folks that are so environmentally conscious, you know, these big tech companies who want to talk about being environmentally conscious, make systems that you have to chuck and throw away. I mean, I was reading an article recently about Apple devices, and just the amount of e-waste they're producing is, I'll find the article and post it for you guys. It's massive, and it's not just Apple's issue. It's all devices. But to make the components irreplaceable or non-replaceable is part of their problem.
Are Tesla batteries welded in?
Believe it or not, I've done some research on Tesla batteries. Basically, think of a Tesla battery. It's not one big battery. It's a bunch of little tiny batteries, hundreds and hundreds of them. I'm not sure what the number is, inside a big box of some kind. I think Tesla has a problem, too, with battery recycling. Heck, windmills have a problem with the windmill arms being recycled. They're being dumped in a landfill out in, I don't know, Wyoming or something like that, because they're made of such a resin you can't even chop it up or have it degrade. So there's all sorts of issues. Everyone thinks there's going to be that magic bullet to solve our environmental problems, but
all just kicking it down the road.
Banging it around, yeah.
We're supposedly the batteries, the ones that they finally decided to weld in, were they just a next generation of longer life batteries, or they just didn't care about whether they were or not?
Well, Apple was the biggest offender of this early on, and I would contend it's all about obsolescence. I mean, they were caught with, when their batteries were starting to fail, they would slow the device down. They were really interested in you doing a swap of your phone. And actually, people are less and less likely these days to swap their phones out as often as they used to be. So I contend it was just a part of their approach to say, well, sorry, man, your battery's not working well anymore. Go get a new device. And people were like, okay. I think that was part of it. There's no advantage to soldering in a battery. You can screw it in and hold it in place with all sorts of little straps. It's not going to fall apart. So there's no engineering approach that I could see that would make it better to solder it in versus allow it to be replaceable. I think it's purely to make you upgrade your system.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate the help.
Yeah. Good luck, Bob.
Have a happy St. Valentine's Day.
Yeah. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. You talking about the article I brought up?
I don't know if this is the one. It's Silicon Republic, the widening e-waste issue and the environmental impact of Apple's policy.
Yeah, we'll take a look. I can try to find the actual one. That's one you can post. That's right. from 2019, it looks like. But yeah, they've got a big issue. I mean, lots of e-waste out there. And even with TAB, we work with our clients to make sure that whenever they change out their systems, we offer the ability to pick up their old ones, responsibly recycle them as best as we can. You know, we make sure the data is removed and inaccessible. We have a whole process. But e-cycling is very important, and so many folks just chuck it in the landfill, and that's not a good idea. Let's go on to, well, you know what? We'll go to a quick break and then get back. So Frank and Ed, hang on. Couple lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk, and let's get right to your calls on this Saturday morning, Valentine's Day. Let's go to Frank in Winstead. What's going on, Frank?
Can you speak up?
I'm here, Frank. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I got you now. Boy, everything was so low.
Yeah, once you get picked up by the system over there in Farmington,
now,
things change. Good.
Well, Eric and Bob, thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have a HP Windows 10. And I have a Lexmark 700 series printer. Now, it just was updated to 2004.
2004?
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
That's the 2004 update.
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay.
2004 update.
Now, all right, very good.
Yeah. Now my printer, I go to print, and it says there's no communication.
Uh-oh.
So I went through and I reinstalled everything. I put, you know, plugged the cable in at the printer, put all the numbers and everything in, and it's still doing it. Now, when I hit print, it like fades, and there's this circle, red circle with a slat in it that comes up.
Like
I'm
a
baffled.
Not sign?
Yeah, like a...
It's a not.
No, yeah,
yeah.
Or whatever.
All right.
And,
won't let you.
I checked the update on the software, and that's up to date, but I couldn't get into the firmware. It said no connection.
So how are you connecting to this printer? Is it by network or USB, wireless?
Wireless. But when I installed it, I installed it with the wire. And then it comes to the point where you pull the wire, and it continues. I guess it's picking up the Wi-Fi then.
So when you say wire, was it a USB cable or?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So why do you want to go wireless? If you put it back wired, Frank, does it work?
In the other room.
Oh.
And my router is in this this room here.
I wonder, there's a big issue with a recent update from Windows 10 and wireless. I don't know if that is the issue.
Yeah, but you know, I tried printing with the cable in.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't print.
Okay, so that's not it.
Let me ask you a question. In your wireless network, how does the devices get their IP address? Is it through DHCP?
Yeah, but remember, he did it locally. That wouldn't work.
Frontier.
Well, no, I understand. So you don't have a router then, I take it. It's just through the...
I don't know what... It must be a built router combination, isn't it?
It might be, yeah. But again, when you connected it locally, he connected the printer directly to it and will print. Right.
I just had it update. I bought a smart TV, and it was starting to fade because I only had 6 megs. So I'm up to the 14 and a half megs now, which is it's good.
Good. 14 megs, that's something. That's good. All right. Let's get back to this printer issue, though. When you connect it physically to the computer with a USB cable, you can't print to it anymore since the update.
No, it did work before.
Before, but since the update, after the update, it stopped
after
working.
After the update,
yeah,
you know, it updated the 28th of January.
Yep,
and I didn't use the printer until the other day. Yeah. I didn't think of it. I should have tried it, but I didn't think that it would.
It's okay. You wouldn't think Microsoft would break a printer on an update, no. Right?
I question whether it's Microsoft.
You do?
No. And here's what I think.
Yeah.
All right. So it's been a while since you used this printer, and it's on wireless, so it has to have an IP address. Okay? So if you go to your printer and you go into the settings, into reports, you can print a configuration report and find out what the IP address of your printer is.
I got them right here.
Okay.
But so my question is, now, when they say gateway,
yeah,
that's the router?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
So then you should be able to open a command prompt and ping that printer. That's my point.
Oh, so, I see.
So if the IP address on the printer is what it says in the report that you printed, then if you ping that IP address, it'll come back and, you know, you'll show that you have communication. Then I would argue that, you know, go into the printer settings and make sure that the IP address that's on the port is the same IP that's actually on the printer.
Okay.
That's an issue with DHCP.
Right, but when he connects it locally, Bob, to a cable and doesn't print...
I think this is a model that you only use the USB to set up, to do the initial setup, and then you're supposed to disconnect
it. Right.
Oh, you think it's wireless only?
Correct.
Oh, that's awful. That's a bad idea. So that's where you're going. So do you think that's the case then, Frank? You've never loaded it, ran it locally before? You've never printed locally?
Through the computer.
Ah. All right. How do I do that?
Well, they're not alone. They're not the only ones that do that.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm not in the field as much as Bob is. All right. So basically, then, if you have to work with wireless, Frank, then that's what Bob's telling you to do. Ping that IP address. See if you're getting a response. If you're not, to his point, the printer's got a different address.
So then you got to print out a new configuration report.
The IP address that was in there is the IP address that I got for the router.
Well, the router is the gateway. Did you print the configuration sheet?
Alias or something like that?
No, you don't want to do any of that. You just want to go in and...
From the printer, print the configuration sheet.
Right.
Right, I have it in front of me.
What's the IP address then of the printer? Not the gateway, the printer itself.
Okay, let's see here now. Wait a minute. Okay. 192.168.1.64.
All right. So go to a command prompt on your computer.
And put that in?
Type in ping, P-I-N-G, space.
Ping?
Yep, space, 192.168.1.64, you said, right?
Put that in after ping?
Yes, sir. After a space, yep.
Okay.
And you should get a reply. If you get a reply, the printer's replying and saying, hey, I'm here, print to me.
Gotcha.
If you're not getting a reply, the IP address of that printer changed, or something else is going on as far as where your computer thinks the printer is. The printer says, I'm here. Your computer needs to now go to the configuration of the printer, to Bob's point, and look at the port on the configuration of the printer and see if it's printing to .64.
Okay.
If it's printing to .53, you're not going to get a print job.
Gotcha.
And I can't believe, I mean, I believe Bob, but I really have a hard time believing a company would design wireless-only printers. But
no.
I believe them. I'm not saying I don't believe them. I just think it's nutty.
HP does it. Canon does
it. The cable.
We'll try.
But I got to get this IP then. The other question is that NetMask. What's that? That's a 255.255.255. That's what it's coming up.
That's the subnet mask that defines how many devices can communicate on your subnet.
On your network itself.
I only have one right now.
Right. So in your environment, you can have 256 devices based on that subnet mask.
Okay.
But you would configure a different subnet mask, let's say if you're a university where you needed many thousands of devices to manage those IP schemes.
Now, gateway, the next one down is 192.168.1.254. What is that?
That's your internet provider's router. That's your SBC router.
Yes, it is. You're right.
Yep.
All the internet traffic has to flow through that IP address.
Now, when he gave me that router, that new router, I had my own IP address, and I really didn't. I had the TV, my phone on that, and I didn't want to go through, so he used mine. So the one on the router, that wouldn't be any good then, would it?
He used your router? You have your own router?
No. This is their router.
He used the same configuration.
But I used my IP. They let me use my IP.
Okay. That'll be all right. Yeah. The key is, can you ping it and does it respond?
Okay. I'll do that.
We've got you on a track here, Frank.
Gotcha.
We'll see what happens.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You got a wonderful show.
All right. Thanks very much for listening, Frank.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Enjoy the snow.
Yeah, right. So much fun here to enjoy the snow in Connecticut.
So how much fun it is to shovel.
Yeah. We used to enjoy the snow.
On a snowy, cloudy day.
When the kids were little, man, we would get up. We'd be driving to get there for Killington for 8 o'clock when that place opened. And we'd be there till 3, and oh my gosh, what a great time when the kids were little. But now it is, I don't want to break a collarbone, so I've decided to give up skiing. Let's go on to Ed in Enfield. Hey, Ed. You there, Ed?
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Morning, gents. I've got an HP Pavilion laptop running Windows 10.
Yeah.
I'm 2 to 3 years old, and about a month ago, I noticed that... I got the sleep setting at 25 minutes.
Yep.
It's never going to sleep, and the fan is running a lot.
Uh-oh.
So about 2 weeks into that, I power it down, turn it over, and I'm expecting to see a lot of dust in the fan area,
mm-hmm.
and it's clean as a whistle. So I put it back.
Your wife does a good job. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I'm sorry?
As I said, your wife does a good job cleaning the house, but then I thought, I'm going to get in big trouble. Go ahead.
I power it back up, and everything seems to be fine. But maybe it's coming back, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I don't notice it. But last night, I come back to use it, and I've got a screen I've never seen before, and it's got 5 lines of code that I think might tell me I've got a problem, but I'm not sure. The first line says, boot device not found.
Well, that is a problem.
The second thing says, please install an operating system on your hard disk.
Even bigger problem.
The third one says, hard disk, and in brackets says, 3FO. And the fourth line says, F2 System Diagnostics. And the fifth line says, for more information, please visit www.hp.com. Go
right.
Technical. But it's locked up. I can't do anything. So the only thing I know how to fix is I push down the power button for like 60 seconds and take the power off and let it sit there. And then I restart it, and everything comes back up, and it seems to be working fine.
Okay, so here's what it could be. I'll start with what I think, and then Bob can tell you what he thinks. So it could be your hard drive's failing. It could also be that you've turned power settings on to turn off your hard drive, and the system is saying, hey, your hard drive is not powered on. So you may want to go to your power settings and make sure your hard drive is not part of the settings that say turn off your hard drive. It shouldn't be. But I think it's a failing hard drive, unless Bob has another alternative. What does he think?
Well, I think it's a failing hard drive, first of all, but it may not be, and it may be just exactly what Eric said. And having your hard drive shut off is kind of a default setting, which I really think is foolish, but that's just my opinion.
Right.
And I have, and you did say it was an HP, correct?
Yeah.
HP Pavilion, right, laptop.
So I have a link here I can give you to a knowledge base article. It says HP PCs 3F0 boot device not found display on a black screen.
Exactly your problem.
Kind of shows that, and it tells you how to test the hard drive using HP built-in firmware diagnostics.
Nice.
So what I would do is run a diagnostic on the hard drive, and because of smart technology, it could tell you if it's beginning to fail. If it's beginning to fail and you're able to power it up, now would be a good time to,
back it up.
Image that over to, and, you know, ghost that drive, if you will.
Even before you run the diagnostics. When you start exercising that hard drive with diagnostics where it checks all the sectors and checks all the areas of that drive, it could finish it.
Well, a smart test will tell you without running very long. It takes just a couple of minutes.
That's good.
Is there a short test and a long test?
Still back it up.
Short test.
Back it up.
So when I first bought this PC, the guys told me I should back it up. So I bought an external hard drive, which I've got plugged into it, which I think is getting backed up to that all the time.
You think it is better to know that it is. You've seen that commercial. It's almost like that commercial where, you know, this might be a poisonous mushroom. I think it's okay to eat. No, that's not a good idea, Ed. You need to know that it's working. So take that external hard drive and connect it to another computer that you might have. I hope you might have one.
I don't.
You don't?
I do not know.
Okay, well, you need to know your backup is working before you do anything crazy. So that you're going to need to consider a way to make sure it's backing up. Otherwise, you could all this could be for naught, and you're going to lose everything. You know, I hate to scare you, but that hard drive is starting to fail.
Okay.
So
it sounds like maybe it's time to go out and get a new PC. And
well, yeah, always good. Help the NASDAQ get a new computer, as I always say. All right, Ed.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Good luck. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I want to thank all you guys, too. Our little show is number one. Number one in Connecticut. We crushed all the other stations. It's all thanks to you guys. We'll be right back.